The president's decision to revive some military tribunals comes in the same week that he reversed course on the release of photos that show U.S. troops abusing prisoners. To talk about those issues and more, we're joined by our regular Friday political commentators, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times. Welcome back to you both.
Thank you. Good to see you.
And let's talk first about these military commissions. The president was slammed on this decision today by Amnesty International, which says in one swift move, Obama both backtracks on a major campaign promise to change the way the United States fights terrorism and undermines the nation's core respect for the rule of law by sacrificing due process for political expediency. E.J. Dionne, a fair critique?
I'm not surprised that Amnesty said that. I think they had a big problem. Their problem was that there were some people they picked up whom they simply don't want to let go because they've identified them as terrorists, especially people picked up on a battlefield. And some of the evidence may now be so tainted against them by the techniques used to extract it that they couldn't win if they took them to court. And so they made what, from their point of view, is a practical decision to do a limited number of cases through these military tribunals. But it's an embarrassing, complete reversal from what he said on the campaign.
And David Brooks, the president also decided to go to court to block the release of those photos we mentioned. The president said they could inflame anti-American sentiment, could put U.S. troops in greater danger. Looking at these two decisions the same week, is the president reversing himself on core beliefs of transparency and accountability here?
Yes, but I think in a way we can be proud. Listen, there's political forces that you have to deal with in a campaign. When you're in government, you have to deal with the people who are actually implementing policy, and they have pretty strong views. And I think the people who are trying to make the commissions work had a certain view. And I know the people in the military who care about the photographs had a certain view. And that view, which I experienced in Afghanistan, was A, that they're ashamed of what happened and they want what happened fixed, but B, there are Americans being killed. And why should we release these extraneous photographs about something we've completely investigated, which will probably lead to an inflammation of our enemies and more Americans being killed? And that's the sort of horrible choice you have to make as president. And I think the good thing that Obama did was he chose the workability above policy over what was a politically more expedient course. Mm-hmm.
There has been a lot of back and forth this week on the question of harsh interrogation techniques of detainees. Who knew what and when about what the CIA was doing? And the focus has landed on the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, on the question of what she was told by the CIA and when back in 2002. Let's listen to a bit of a news conference she had yesterday as she tried to shift the focus back to the Bush administration.
Understand. And I don't know how you can fall prey to this. This is their policy. All of them. This is their policy. This is what they conceived. This is what they developed. This is what they implemented. This is what they denied was happening. And now they're trying to say, don't put the spotlight on us. We told the Congress. Well, they didn't tell us everything that they were doing. And the fact is that anything we would say doesn't matter anyway.
E.J. Dionne, what's going on here? Why are we talking about what Nancy Pelosi knew 6 years ago?
It is very strange, since Nancy Pelosi had absolutely nothing to do with this policy. She was briefed on it. Those briefings were held in a way where her obligation was not to talk about them publicly. She argues that the first time she was not told that waterboarding was being used, she says these techniques were described in more general terms. We don't have any proof that she was told about these things at the moment. I think in the end, she's on the griddle right now because she has to explain what she knew and why she didn't speak out earlier. She's saying Democrats spoke out. In the long run, I think the Republicans going after her may cause themselves a problem because they have been trying to fight disclosure of various things. They've been trying to fight hearings or a truth commission. The more they say that Pelosi is under obligation to disclose this or that, the more they make the case for fuller disclosure of what actually happened, both in these briefings and what the administration did. If they're saying with one voice that what the administration did was right, but Pelosi was wrong not to speak out, it's an odd message they're sending.
And David Brooks, there are a few calls from the Republican right, from Rush Limbaugh and Congressman Steve King, for Nancy Pelosi to resign. Where's this going?
Well, I don't want to associate myself with Rush, but I thought her performance this week was just pathetic, and even worse than pathetic, it was dishonorable. She was told in 2003 about the waterboarding. Some people, like Jane Harman, a colleague from California, a Democratic congresswoman, wrote a letter objecting. Nancy Pelosi did not write a letter. Fine. The climate in 2003 was very different from the climate now. Fine. She didn't complain. A lot of people didn't complain.
And she was saying it was not her position at that point. Since
she could have. She could have written a letter as Jane Harmon did. But she didn't do it fine. The problem was she then went on and was misleading in the years since about what happened, what she knew. And then this week comes out and tries to turn it into a partisan hack show, blaming the Bush administration. Now, I have a lot of fault with the Bush administration, but she could have at least been honest about her own course. And trying to say that the CIA lied was, to me, the least honorable way to talk about this issue, trying to cast dispersions on others, instead of just having an honest account about the evolution of her views.
Unless she's actually telling the truth about the fact that she wasn't told about waterboarding in the first briefing, and what she's arguing is they were told later on that Harmon then was the relevant person on the committee. She wrote a letter, spoke for Democrats. That's her argument. Does she look great in all this? No, I don't think she looks great in all this, but I don't think her saying, trying to be honest, I'm presuming that, about what she was told and what she wasn't, I don't think there's anything dishonorable about that.
And very briefly, there was a moment at that news conference yesterday when a reporter dared to ask Nancy Pelosi about health care and was sort of hooted out of the room. There was great laughter among the rest of the reporters.
This is the biggest issue of the week. I mean, this is the future of our country. And the administration is, A, making great progress on getting something passed, not so much progress on paying for it. But this is the huge issue of the week.
This is the first week in a long time where the Obama administration really didn't control the message of the week. What they really want to talk about is this enormous progress on health care, where all these interest groups, including the big drug companies, lined up and said, we're going to work to cut health prices, and that looks like part of a deal. They made progress on cap and trade, and we're talking about all this other stuff.
Thanks to you both, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.